Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We're going to have some fun this morning in this hour. We're going to get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, all that coming up for you. We'll catch up with our United Way as well. And we'll tell you about this awesome giveaway that our friends at Stone Age Gem are doing. We'll talk about that. All that stuff coming up for you, but we got to kick off with entertainment news. And I saw this breaking last night, Terry. Frozen 3 has been announced at Disney.
We got to get you caught up.
I haven't seen the second or anything yet, but I did finally see the first one. And it was really good.
Very begrudgingly.
Yes. During Disney's Q1 earnings call, CEO Bob Iger revealed that he'll be returning to the Frozen Kingdom of Arendelle for a third time in the near future. Frozen 3 is officially in the works at the company as it looks to capitalize on some of the highest grossing properties going forward. Disney, I don't do this that often, but Disney is maybe the best at how they do after a flop. And I don't mean a bomb. Like, after a bomb, they do good as well, obviously. But it's more of the flop that they keep an eye on. They play offense at Disney, not defense. And they usually do this better than anybody else has in history, really. They were the ones that originally, you know, were the thinking of, we're going to release Sword in the Stone, but then we're going to take it away and put it in the Disney vault.
Put it in the vault.
Oh, no, and we can't get it and everything. And people would freak out and buy up Sword in the Stone and stuff. And, you know,
well,
those things.
All of them. I think I have all of them on VHS,
yeah,
like all of those movies at that point.
And people were able to create their own vaults in a way. Mm-hmm. And it was a very cool thing. And it was a way to, really work with your fan base.
And you
smart.
Really, though, you really couldn't get them.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you bought them used from someone, you know, from an individual.
Yeah.
When they locked them up. When they were gone, they were literally gone.
Yeah. So Disney recently has had a couple of, they would say, flops. Most recently, Strange World was a bit of a bomb, grossing under $74 million. And Encanto did well, like, here in America, but, like, overall, like, and throughout the world, but it didn't bring in the numbers that they were expecting it to. It was much more, like, celebrated by fans. The music was much more celebrated. The soundtrack did very well. It did good awards. Wise, but it wasn't like the Disney box, the hit that Disney was.
I didn't see it.
If you're Disney, there's a bar that's set. I would think of this like, I would think of most, like sports fans sometimes. Like, your team wins a lot. You expect to win all the time. Disney is a little like this.
Sure.
And understandable because they've got a pretty good body of work. So they're going to bring back Frozen 3. And not surprisingly, it's one of three films revealed during the call they're bringing back. They're making a Toy Story 5 and a Zootopia sequel.
Fun.
No word yet on the plot, but it does sound like Kristen Bell and Idie Menzel are going to be back playing Anna and Elsa. Josh Gad will be playing Olaf, and Jonathan Groff will be playing Kristoff.
Well, they have to have them back.
You have to bring back those four.
Or it's not...
Just not the same.
No.
Even I know that. Even I'm getting that from those.
So have you seen the Toy Stories?
Most of them, yeah. Yeah.
So the way that Toy Story 4 ended, I was like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
I was disappointed. I mean, not, I don't know if disappointed, I don't know if disappointed is the right word, but I just was like, that really can't happen. I thought maybe that was the end for Toy Story. So it just will intrigue me enough to, I don't know that I would go to the theater and watch it, but we have Disney Plus, you know, so it releases, I probably will watch it because of my curiosity of how 4 ended.
Again, kind of playing into what I was talking about before there, they noticed that too. And that's part of the reason why I believe they're making a fifth one. They've got other things they could go to, but they didn't like the way that wrapped
the
up.
The reaction that people had to the ending? Yeah.
Because, so say I go see it week one, the first week it comes out, and then I'm telling all my friends that may want to see it, but the ending. So their week two sales are down, their week three sales are down, and going forward, nobody's buying the DVD. So this is going to hopefully rejuvenate that, buying not just Toy Story 5, but Toy Story 1, 2, 3, that kind of thing.
And some people might have been okay with that ending. I just personally was like,
I did not mean
that. I was sad.
Yeah, my sister was mad. She was angry about it. She did not like it. I have no idea what it was, and I don't want to spoil anybody.
I won't.
But yeah, she was not happy either. And it takes a lot to get her bent out of shape about something like that. It was interesting. And speaking of Toy Story, Tim Allen will return as Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story 5.
Cool.
Tim tweeted, "See you soon, Woody. You are a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity." And and off we go to number 5, to infinity and beyond.
I love it.
He's the first to confirm his involvement. No word yet on if Tom Hanks will be involved, but more than likely he will be. Tom loves doing these, and so I can't imagine him not doing it if he can work it out schedule-wise.
Very cool.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Some new music coming out today. Paramore, This Is Why, have their 6th album coming out. Let's see here. The Academy with Sitting Pretty, that's their 2nd album. And Yo La Tengo has their 17th album coming out as well. Raven by Kilili also coming out this weekend. So just some new music for you. And new in theaters this weekend. Some new stuff coming out. She Came from the Woods, rated PG-13. Looks like a horror comedy.
I was going to say, it looks a little creepy.
Yeah, that, I don't know about that one. Titanic, the 25th anniversary re-release. That was great. The classic 1997 romance disaster movie has been remastered in 4K 3D for its 25th anniversary.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. We talked about this last week, and mm-hmm. I brought it up, yeah, anticipating it, and then I kind of forgot about it.
Oh, that's funny.
And now here we are. So now I got to figure out how far I have to drive to get it, because I don't know that we have it here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we do or not either. Yeah. While you're looking that up, one more movie coming out this weekend, Magic Mike's Last Dance. Channing Tatum is back for the 3rd installment.
Should probably be his last dance.
It really should be. It really should be. Come on, man. I mean, come on. You know, at a certain point, you got to quit going to the well. There's got to be other parts out there for you. He's not a bad actor. He's all right.
I don't mind him, but it's like, okay, I think we've... Yeah. Who's the female co-star in this one? Is it Jennifer Lopez?
Selma Hayek is going to be. Now, that does intrigue me a little bit, but not enough to see it. I've never seen any of them. I will not see that one either.
I saw the first one.
I do love Selma Hayek, though. Huge fan of Selma Hayek. So that is definitely going to be kind of interesting to see how that does in theaters. More than likely will be the last one. We were...
I doubt it.
Well... I should say, it'll be the last one released in theaters, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, straight to video, I don't know, or whatever, straight to download, whatever you want to say nowadays.
In like 20 years, you and I will be sitting here, and it'll be like, Magic Mike's next dance.
Poor somebody, please start a GoFundMe for Channing Tatum. He's still doing these movies. The poor guy. He's up there shaking his moneymaker and making change.
Dropping pennies.
Zach Braff and Donald Faison from Scrubs did another T-Mobile ad. This one they recruited John Travolta for, and he's singing Summer Nights from Grease in it.
Aww.
A lot of people excited about that.
I love that movie.
Grease is still one of those movies that even young kids I hear referencing and talking about.
That is the first movie that I went to in the movie theater. Mm. And, you know,
that's cool.
Sad
that's
for the people cool. around me because, well, I was little. I mean, mm-hmm. I was only like 5,
yeah,
4 maybe. And I had the album, so I knew all the songs. Mm. And my aunt said that I literally sang every single song out loud, loud. So, you know, there's that.
Oh, I like that. Oh, that's fantastic. I don't know why that makes me so happy. That's great. I do want to get into, I'll get into that with you in a little bit. Actually, I'll touch on this one right now. Since we have the time, there was another story. We'll do that next week when we have our audio with us. For now, it isn't just athletes. Carrie Underwood eats the exact same dinner every night she performs. No exceptions.
Huh.
And no, it isn't a Hot Pocket.
Ew.
No.
People eat those?
Carrie says she eats 2 eggs, half an avocado, a pile of veggies, and hummus before every show.
I would eat all of that except the hummus. I am just not a fan.
I don't mind hummus. Yeah. I don't know. It depends on how the eggs are made. But yeah, this is from Taste of Country. And I thought that was kind of interesting that she shared that. Not that, no, I guess I shouldn't say that she shared it so much as that's, usually you see this with athletes.
But, you know, I mean, I can see, and I think this came out recently when Shania Twain kind of came back, you know, like 2 weeks ago or whatever. Yeah. She was talking about how she doesn't eat any solid foods on the day of performances.
Right.
Just because of, like, gas. She's like, I'm either belching or, you know, like, I'm not going to take a chance that because I identify that certain foods affect me differently. So, I mean, I could see that. If she found, you know, this is Carrie Underwood's golden ticket, take it.
Yeah. I just famously don't eat before a show. I a lot of water, a lot of that, but will not eat as soon as I'm done with the show. I got too much adrenaline. It's usually about a half an hour, hour later, I am the hungriest person in the world.
Yeah, like you're just like, ravenous. Like you're gonna,
But I can't. I can't even eat before the radio shows here, like doing this. Like I just my nerves and everything. I could eat. I could physically eat, and it wouldn't do me any good. It wouldn't. Like I don't know. I think it would just upset my stomach or something. Because it just my. I just the care that I have for doing this stuff is just on a weird level, and I can relate to
right out of the horse's mouth
stuff. Yeah.
Okay, we have to rewind for a second for my fellow lovers of Titanic.
Yeah,
it is playing at the Marcus Cedar Creek Theater. That's the closest place to Wisconsin Rapids.
Thank you
so
for looking
starts
that up.
Today. So I'll be hustling somebody up there this weekend.
Got to be honest, I'm a little surprised that the theater, more theaters aren't.
That's just it. Just said that's the closest to Wisconsin Rapids. Yeah. So.
I appreciate you looking that up, though. Nice reporting by you. Did want to mention congratulations to Patrick Mahomes winning a second NFL MVP. Dak Prescott winning Man of the Year. Bosa won Defensive Player of the Year. Justin Jefferson won Offensive Player of the Year. Just wrapping up the NFL Honors Awards and everything. The NFL Hall of Fame was announced, too. And it's ridiculous because they did not accept Devin Hester. But no, congratulations to the people. I will say, actually, in all seriousness, Joe Thomas is going in, and I know he spent his whole career in Cleveland, but that's a lifetime Wisconsinite. That's a four-year Badger, one of the best offensive linemen I've ever seen, one of the greatest offensive linemen in football history, and a guy who, on the day of the NFL draft, when he was being drafted by the Cleveland Browns, he was one of the last people to know because he was out fishing with his brother instead of being at the, in New York at the game and all that, and it's my favorite draft story. Yeah, agents, all those people will tell you, no. In fact, I believe Joe Thomas even said his agent told him, like, hey, this could cost your draft stock and things like that. And he's like, this is the last day that I'm going to have before my new life begins. I want to spend it with my brother.
That's
cool. I love fishing. I want to go fishing up north here in Wisconsin. So that's where he was when he was drafted. And I just love that story
so much.
That's awesome. Congratulations to him. Deserves it. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. I want to talk first Super Bowls, Terry, or first memorable, first time you memory from a Super Bowl. We come back on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show. Thanks so much, Jennifer, and our good friends over there at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Big thank you to them. Appreciate them. I want to talk a little bit about the big game this Sunday one more time with you, Terry, and just about your first Super Bowl that you remember, maybe. Or maybe, you know, along with that, what are your favorite memories of a Super Bowl?
You know, I don't know when my first... Like, I don't remember it as a kid, like a little kid.
Yeah.
So maybe high school?
Yeah. That would work.
I don't know. I don't recall, and I don't recall it being like a big deal, you know, at our house when I was little. But in high school, you know, like you get together with your friends and that kind of stuff. But, and we, over the years as, you know, as adults, like, we kind of just rotate around where we all gather. Like I said, if it's at my house, halftime you're out. After halftime.
Yeah, right. Being a big Joe Montana fan, I wasn't sure if one of those four Super Bowls, if maybe there was a memory of one of those, maybe.
I mean, but, I remember that, but you know what I mean? Yeah, but nothing that, like, really sticks out. Mm-mm.
I want to say that the famous one with the Bengals and 49ers, when they came back at the end, that what I think of as the John Candy Super Bowl.
So, like, what year was that?
That was 83. No,
So, like, early 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely wouldn't have been on my radar.
No.
You know, that would have been elementary school
for me.
Wait
a minute, though. But that doesn't sound right. That doesn't seem right. Well, regardless, that was the one where the Niners were down. Joe Montana, with 34 seconds remaining, lifts the 49ers to 20-16 victory with hitting John Taylor in the end zone. It was John Taylor's only catch. Montana began the 92-yard drive by calmly directing the attention of his nervous teammates towards the stands. "Hey, isn't that John Candy over there?" he asked while pointing to the comedian, proving once again that he has ice water in his veins. That's like with the recent retiring of Tom Brady, I've taken so much heat from my friends about this. And, "Oh, you just don't like Tom Brady and all this stuff." I'm like, no, the reason I think that Joe Montana is more the GOAT than Tom Brady is things like this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Tom Brady, ice water in his veins, sure. Joe Montana, his body was ice water. Like, he, like, from the crystal blue eyes that man had to everything else about him, this. There was no nerves in him. Tom Brady, you hear him talk about it, and like how I didn't think we were going to come back in that Atlanta Super Bowl or this or that or whatever. And there's a difference between those two for me.
I don't know. For me, it's just pure. I just think Brady's just arrogant. Like for me, that's the difference. And I'm not saying, I'm sure there's plenty of people who think Joe Montana's arrogant, but I just never. That's not my vibe, and I get that vibe from Brady.
Yeah. I don't remember a ton of it, but we had just I just gotten moved up here to Wisconsin, and so I was, you know, back and forth a bit, and then I'm up here. I don't see my mom and dad for about a year and a half. The first time I see them is they came up here to watch the Bears in the Super Bowl when they took on the New England Patriots.
Okay.
And I remember that game a bit, but I mostly remember being around my mom and dad. And honestly, I think it's part of why the Super Bowl is so, like, I enjoy it so much. Yeah, I'm a big football fan, and I love that and everything, but I have yet to have a Super Bowl since then where I don't have at least some point in the game out of nowhere. I'll remember me getting to stay up late and sitting there with my mom and dad and watching our team and how excited we were and how dominant that game was. If you're a Bear fan, it was obviously a lot of fun. It's the most lopsided football, you know, game I've ever seen. And I've still never seen a quarterback look. I've seen scared in sports. I've never seen a more scared human being than Steve Grogan for the New England Patriots, and the look on his face, and I'm not over-exaggerating, like, you go back and watch the footage, look at his eyes, look at that man's face, like, from the opening snap, he just doesn't look like he wants to do this anymore, like, he'd retire right there just so Mike Singletary doesn't hit him. But it actually, as much as I'm a homer and all that stuff, it's not really about the game and that our team winning, it was being with my mom and dad and missing them so much, and getting to see them with that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I think of this as, again, the real essence, the real beauty of sports, how it brings people together, how we both talked about earlier in the show, the tradition of getting together on Super Bowl Sunday. Even if you don't care about the game, getting together with friends and stuff and having these things to look forward to, it's awesome. Like, it's pretty cool that we still have this.
Yeah, I agree.
Forget about all the money that's spent on it and the commercials and blah, 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 and the score of the game, all that stuff. We can't guarantee if we're going to have a good game, if we're going to enjoy the commercials or the snacks or any of these things. But you can enjoy it. You can guarantee you enjoy the company. You have a good time with the people you're with. So make it a good Super Bowl. Choose to make it a good one. While you're at it, talk with your significant other and be like, "Hey, how do we meet again?" I think we got a pretty good origin story.
You should probably remember.
Probably should. Stone Age, our friends over at Stone Age Gem Rocks and Minerals, they are a Facebook main company. They are giving away an Ethiopian opal ring for Valentine's Day. This is custom made. It's a one-of-a-kind ring that can be resized as needed just for you. And there is none other stone like this. This opal is one-of-a-kind. And you could have it. As I mentioned, they are a Facebook based company. That's where people can make your orders if you'd like to make orders with them, and where you can go to leave your significant other story. You can enter to win by going to Stone Age Gem Minerals and More or WFHR's Facebook page and share how you met your significant other. Entries must be posted by noon on Valentine's Day. The winner will be chosen by Travis, the owner, for best story. The winner will be contacted via Facebook and announced on the air right here at WFHR on Wednesday, February 15th. Less than a week away, 5 days away,
yeah,
will be announced in the winner.
Very fun.
It's a cool thing. This ring is going to match you. because you and your significant other have an origin story unlike anybody else. I guarantee it. Everybody's got an original story. Terry was sharing hers earlier. I was talking about my ex-wife and I. Everybody's got an original one out there. Share them with us. Make our romantic hearts sing. Go ahead and share those stories. I love this contest. I really, really do. This is so much fun. I can't wait to read all
these. Yeah, it is sweet to read them.
Yeah, Terry was saying earlier she's already seen some up there and everything. So get posting, everybody. Get up there. Get on Stone Gem Minerals and More or WFHR's webpage and go ahead and leave how you and your significant other met. And maybe you'll win this beautiful, one-of-a-kind Ethiopian opal ring for Valentine's Day. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We will come back and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thank you for kicking off your Friday with us.
Sorry, we were just busy dancing here. Fell off our chairs.
Yeah. I didn't know it took that long for him to jump in. I remember that.
You gotta love it.
King of the soundtracks right there, Kenny Loggins. 80 strong around here. Terry and James here with you. We got some fun stuff to get to take you to the top of the hour. Let you know about our morning magazine schedule for today and the rest of our schedule sports-wise for this weekend and plenty more coming up for you.
James, do you remember last week when we weren't on the air, you know, when we did the show?
Yes.
And we weren't on the air, but we were going to research something this week and then come back with it today. And no one can hold us accountable because they didn't hear it, but I don't remember what it was. Do you remember what it was? Okay, never mind. We both had homework.
Yes.
And I forgot.
Boy.
I didn't do it.
Gosh,
I'm getting an F.
Definitely.
But I was just thinking about that. I'm like, we were coming back with something today.
Yeah. Yeah, we were. Jeez.
Well, not it.
Darn it. What was that? Darn it. That's going to bug me, Terry. That is going to bug the daylights out of me. Oh, I know that should be something.
We'll think of it later.
We will. It'll occur to me at like 3 in the morning.
That's Don't what, send me a message.
No, I will not. I will not. I know, but I've learned. I've known better. So interesting one here with Chick-fil-A. Here's something new to try or not. Chick-fil-A is about to debut its first plant-based option, a cauliflower sandwich. They'll start selling them in 3 test markets on Monday, Denver, Charleston, and Greensboro. It looks almost identical to their normal Chick-fil-A sandwich, but apparently doesn't taste like it.
Wait, so it doesn't taste like chicken?
No, I'm showing it to Terry right here, and it does look...
Oh, it totally looks like it.
It does look like it. I'll give him that. It does look exactly like it, but according to a writer for USA Today who got their hands on one and said it tastes like nothing like their normal chicken sandwich...
Well, duh, it's cauliflower.
Yeah, but in their opinion, it's a good thing, so I don't know. They admitted they're not a fan of chicken breast in general, so they like the new cauliflower version better. The chicken patty isn't ground up cauliflower that's been molded into a patty shape. It's a full chunk of it that's marinated in buffalo sauce, breaded, and cooked in a pressure fryer. They claim that's what people wanted.
Okay, so I'm not saying I wouldn't try it or like the idea of cauliflower prepared this way, but for me, like trying to disguise it as a chicken breast and put it in a bun is weird.
Seems weird. Seems mean. Like it seems a little like
cruel.
Little cruel. Little cruel. I just don't feel like that's necessary.
Is this another thing that's going to your dog? Another veggie that's getting scrapped to the dog?
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, I like cauliflower, and I could see it being marinated and breaded and deep fried like this, but to me it's just weird to put it on a sandwich, but that's just me.
Yeah,
but I like chicken, so
yeah, there you go. That's noteworthy, I suppose. I think it is, at least if you don't like chicken going right into it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not too sure about this one, I'll say that much.
I mean, we could fly to South Carolina and just check it
out. I wouldn't mind. I love the Carolinas.
If we need some on-site reporting, and direct.
Oh, I even got some friends out there. We should
probably head over there.
Definitely. We're going to take off right now because we should leave now. I mean, if we're going to do it, we should probably take off now. We don't want to miss traffic and everything. They also tested different plant-based options like whole mushroom caps and a fried green tomato sandwich. But the cauliflower one did by far and away did the best.
Well, I would think, don't you think that the consistency of cauliflower would hold up better? You know what I mean? Like mushrooms are kind of a little bit more fragile, you know, when you think about this. Yeah. So do you think the idea of switching to plant-based is just for people who don't want to eat meat, or is it that it's healthier?
I think it's a little of both.
Well, because I'm telling you, they're marinating this and they're breading it and they're deep frying it. There's nothing healthier about it.
No, you might as well eat the chicken at that point. Yeah. They've been working on this since 2018. And that part's weird, though. They say it's not really vegetarian. It's not gluten-free either, and definitely not vegan. They're calling it plant-forward instead because it contains milk and eggs. It also sounds like it's cooked in the same fryers as the normal chicken sandwiches. So it kind of feels like hey, look, we're being green, we're doing it, but not really. But going the least amount of effort put into it.
But it doesn't. But I don't even know if that's the motivator.
I don't think it is. You know what I mean?
I think they're just offering another.
I think it's a coincidence that the green that people want that and that they're doing this. I think that you're similar to when KFC did the whole thing where they had, instead of two buns, they had the two chicken patties inside a chicken, like, you know, that kind of thing. They weren't doing that because they were running out of buns.
Right.
It was just another ways.
But I can see people eating this.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially in where Chick-fil-A's are really big in the South and all that.
And I am a Chick-fil-A fan, so I like it. For me, they rival Culver's. The chicken side of Culver's is always first for me for a burger. To me they're. It's that good.
I haven't. I've eaten at a lot of Southern places, like a Whataburger and places like that. I've never eaten at a Chick-fil-A. Just haven't had the chance. It's not by choice. If I'm in the South and I'm hungry for chicken, like Popeyes and places like that, I've gone to since I was a kid. So you just go to the places you're used to.
So their spicy chicken sandwich is fabulous, and then they've got really good salads. But there is Chick-fil-A in Appleton.
Oh, okay.
And
I was wondering where the closest one was. Well, now I want chicken, so now I kind of have to.
Now you can go to Culver's.
So we'll get in Carolina. We just got to wait. It's going to take a couple hours.
I'm all for it. You're eating the cauliflower. I'm eating the chicken.
Darn it. Oh. BuzzFeed has a new poll where they tossed out names of 50 celebrities and asked people if they have a positive or negative opinion of them in that moment.
How many people didn't know?
Right. Some of the most highly regarded celebrities are not surprising. People love Keanu Reeves, but some were unexpected, like the universal adoration for Danny DeVito. People love Danny DeVito. In fact, number one on the list, Danny DeVito and Keanu Reeves. They're both tied for 96% positive opinions.
Huh.
I like seeing that. I like that. I like Danny DeVito. And Keanu Reeves is, we've kind of noted on the show here in many good stories of the day and those kind of things. That's just a guy living life right. I mean, he just, you know, good karma, good person, treating people right. Just seems to be an all-around good guy. Danny DeVito, very similar, just not as good looking.
Do you think it's just because he's little? I think it's a little of that.
I think it is.
Cuddly?
The fact that he's been, most of us grew up with Danny DeVito, you know, for me, it was watching Taxi with my dad as a kid. For my sister, Matilda, he's always been there. He was on Cheers a little bit. Yeah. He's always been a part of the public eye, really. And to even younger generations where he jumps on at the time, and still one of the most popular comedies in America, but at the time it was the most popular new comedy, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He jumps on that show and gets another second act and everything. So I think that a lot of that added into it. And you've never heard anybody say a bad word about Danny DeVito. It's also noteworthy. Both these guys have been around multiple decades, like three, four, in Danny's case, 4 or 5 decades. And you've never heard anybody say, oh, Danny DeVito is hard to work with.
Or there's never been a media scandal around him or something like that. Yeah.
Him and Rhea Perlman been together forever. Yeah. You know, I think all that stuff adds up. Number two on the list, the only thing surprising about this is that she's not number one, Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah, agree.
95% have a positive opinion of her. Who the heck are these 5%? Who are these 5% of people? You come talk to me.
People who don't like cleavage. I don't know. What could possibly be their issue?
It's as good an answer as I'm going to hear today, because there is not a good legitimate answer for why you don't like Dolly Parton. I can understand not having a feeling about her one way or the other. That's fine. I could see that. But
to say you don't dislike her,
that seems like, come on, you're just making that up. You're just trying to be a hipster and push against everybody else that likes her. You give me the, what don't you like about her? Please tell me. I can't imagine. Ryan Reynolds is number...
I don't know.
Number three on the list, Ryan Reynolds at 92%. Not too surprising. What is a little kind of interesting is he's at number three. His wife is number four, Blake Lively.
Oh. By how much difference?
1%. And I guarantee you, from what they share of their relationship, he will not let that go. He will not let her live that down.
Well, fair enough.
She gives
right?
it. She I gives mean, it right back right. at him. Really
fair
good.
Is fair.
Now, again, I think another part of that is where it's a celebrity couple that I think is maybe has a chance to kind of be the Kurt and Goldie of this generation.
Like they're doing it right.
Yeah. And they just seem like they're one of those couples, people they get along.
And
they
that really can make it through all of the other garbage that comes with that. Yeah.
Chris Evans and George Clooney both got 90%. Tom Hanks and Lady Gaga at 89%. A little interesting.
Unlikely couple.
Very. Oh, but I want it not. Yeah, that is a kind of cool couple, actually. I would like to see that now. Adam Sandler, number seven with 82%. Nicole Kidman, 80% for her. Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift, 77%. And Harry Styles and Martha Stewart wrapped up the top 10.
So, like, I don't... I'm not a Nicole Kidman fan, and I don't know why. I mean, I don't necessarily have same as like Dolly Parton. Like, I can't say I have anything against her, so I wouldn't say it's that she's unfavorable to me, but I'm just not a. I don't really have anything for her either. Yeah, I think it's weird that Miley Cyrus and Taylor Swift are the same.
Yeah, I thought that was very surprising. Thank you. Yeah, I was like, well, wait a minute. She just had an album come out. She just was nominated for a bunch of Grammys. So I know Taylor's had some new music, and I know Miley hasn't had new music in quite a while. I know they're both, they couldn't be more opposite as far as like the public persona of them and everything. And yet they're not only low on the list, but they're where they are. I was a little, like, I actually think that 77% is kind of high for Miley Cyrus. That's good to see. I have nothing against that. I actually have some respect for her. Just what she's done. I don't listen to her music or anything, but like the way that she, like Child Stars, it's rough.
But you know what? I actually liked her Disney stuff. Mm. Like that was when my kids were growing up, you know, like her, her show, I mean, I didn't mind that at all. And so, but yes, there is that whole challenge of being a child star and all of that. But I just, to me, her and Taylor Swift are not
couldn't the same. Be more opposite. Yeah. I think that's very interesting. I also think that that it's noteworthy that so many of these stars have been around for multiple years. There's no new names on this list. The newest names, like a Lady Gaga or a Taylor Swift, a Miley Cyrus, even they have been around for over a decade. So that's pretty interesting. It shows you a little bit. You're seeing the top of the list, people that have been around multiple decades. I think that there's something
to
that.
You have to be established, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
On the flip side, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook had 94% have negative opinions of him. Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos right at the second end of that. So I don't think any of those three names are surprising. Ellen DeGeneres and Adam Levine at number three. Kylie Jenner at number four, along with Kim Kardashian. And James Corbin at number five. I know that Ellen and James Corbin have had some, you know, with their talk shows being canceled and them being kind of canceled and people finding out, hey, it turns out they're not as nice and sweet as they seem. Shocker. That's a little surprising. Adam Levine, that's been more of a social media thing where he got caught trying to, you know, I guess he's in a committed relationship and he's been like DMing and talking to direct messaging a bunch of people who he should not be doing that with, including somebody who was like 17 or something. So, understandable with those. The Jenner thing, I think there's nausea with the Kardashians and all that. And also this kind of like, what's worse for them, the worst thing for them, it's not so much the nauseam or being used to them or anything, it's or even hating them, it's not caring. It's, Kardashians, no big deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's death to them. They would rather you hate them, and at least you're still talking about them. The fact that nobody's really talking about them anymore, that's what's really, like, bringing their brand down.
You know, when Barbara Walters passed away, there was a special on her and on just her career, and it was very good. I very much enjoyed it. But one of the clips that was played, and it was a two-hour show, and it was just all kinds of clips. Mm. But one of the clips was, she had all the, you know, the Kardashians there, and she said, I don't understand why you're popular. Yes,
yeah.
What do any of you do?
I remember this. Yes,
I'm like, you know, that's a really good point. It's what do any of them do?
Please, if you could let us know, we would love it.
You know, like, why are you popular was really her question. Like, why do people care? Because what, you know, what have you done? It just was hilarious. And so I always think of that now whenever I see any of them on anything. You know, I'm like, yeah, what do they do?
Get right brought back to that. Yeah, I hear you. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, have a little more fun with you with some That Ain't Right stories. Good stories of the day all coming up with you right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Terry and James here with you. Got the band back together. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Some good stories of the day. But before that, got to get to a That Ain't Right story. You could say this guy is the triathlete of criminals. Because he can drive, run, and ride and swim to avoid capture. A man in Northern California named Michael led cops on a high-speed chase on Wednesday, and it was quite a show. He drove until he reached a dead end, then tore through three separate backyards before his vehicle got stuck. He got out and ran until he spotted a motorcycle, and he stole that and rode off, but the cops were on his tail. He hopped off the bike, ran to the edge of the Sacramento River, jumped in, and started swimming across it. On the other side, he climbed up a tree, and police got to it and circled it.
Dumb.
And he finally came down and was cuffed. And he is going to be doing a lot of time and paying a lot of fines. But, I'm not, like, you don't get any lower fine, you don't get any lower years or anything like that. But I do think, like, as you're sitting there in your prison cell and everything, you know, maybe you get a little bragging rights.
Are you rethinking the tree climb?
Yes, definitely. Definitely think of it. I think you're rethinking a lot of things.
You go through all of that, then you climb a tree.
Thinking about what led me to this moment in life. I just made a darn fool of myself.
Well, yes, there's all of that. But I'm just saying, all of the efforts... And not that criminals are smart, but but all of the efforts to that point, and then you climb a tree. Like, what did he? What was he thinking was
going
to happen?
I don't know where this was going. Yeah, how he thought this was going to end in his head.
I mean, not getting away clearly.
Yeah. I think he ran out of ideas. I think he ran out,
like he was just exhausted at that point.
If there was a train nearby, he would have jumped on the train. But I think he ran out of ideas. Michael was wanted for questioning regarding an armed robbery that occurred. There aren't any details on that for now, but he's been booked for vehicle pursuit, vandalism, resisting arrest, vehicle theft, and just being dumb.
That's a multiplier.
Either he's guilty or he's auditioning for the Iron Man competition.
See?
Either way, you can't
maybe
do
he was
this.
Just practicing.
It's the tree part that gets me. It's
as you're telling the story, I'm like, okay, and then he did this. And then he climbed a tree.
I was expecting, and the cops caught up to him and tackled him.
Yeah, or they were waiting on the other side of the river.
That they had to call the fire department. Like, there's a cat stuck in a tree. Like I didn't expect that to happen.
Hey, maybe there was a kitty up there. Maybe that's why he climbed up.
Maybe he's like, oh, forget all this. I got to save that cat.
Yeah, we should get him on the phone.
I'd like to interview him. I do have some follow-up questions. He can use his one phone call.
715.
Yes. Wasted your one phone call, man.
But, you know, we'll take it.
We'll take it. Definitely would take the call.
We'll take your call.
Good stories of the day now. A dog in Texas ran away from their new home after she got adopted from a shelter last month. But her new owners have her again after she walked 10 miles back to the shelter and rang the doorbell.
Oh.
Dogs rock.
Sweet.
Dogs are awesome.
I hope her new owners are, like, really good.
I hope
it was just a coincidence, not that she's really trying to get away from something.
Here's hoping. Wildlife officials in Minnesota had to help a bear that couldn't get out of a ditch and that was hibernating in. The snow was too deep and the bear was groggy. They relocated it to a better area and now it's hibernating again. The process of that, or even knowing that the bear is stuck, like I don't know how that works. Yeah, yeah. Why it was awake? I got follow up questions on that one. But great work by those people. Nice work. A 9-year-old kid in Chicago just broke a world record by dribbling a basketball blindfolded for 1 hour and 20 minutes straight. I've tried to do this. I had an old basketball coach that tried to get us to do this, especially if you were the kid that only dribbled with one hand.
Yeah.
He would try to get you to, you know, blindfold you and do that. It was one of the funniest things to see and one of the worst things to do. Like, you'd be laughing at your friends until it was your turn.
Yeah, until it was your turn.
Then it was different.
You're like, can we just all do this at the same time instead?
A Kansas City Chiefs fan gave a kidney to a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Now they're both going to the Super Bowl together. They're both their old friends who met in the Marine Corps over 20 years ago and kept in touch on Facebook. The surgery was in 2020, but the Eagles and Chiefs just heard about it and worked together to get them to the game this Sunday.
Isn't that cool?
And that's really, really darn cool. That is awesome. That right there, that's going to make the day for me. I think that's a really cool story. We thank them for their service. These two are also headed to the Super Bowl. A couple in Buffalo, New York, saved a developmentally disabled man caught out in the blizzard on Christmas Eve. Then they took care of him for 2 days until they could get him to the hospital. The NFL gave them tickets, and Delta is flying them there for free.
Oh, that's cool.
Another guy from the same blizzard also got Super Bowl tickets last month. He's the one who broke into the school and saved those 24 kids. Mm-hmm. Nice job by the NFL. Whatever you lose in ticket sales, you're making up more than for in PR all that and everything. A cop in Michigan gave a guy a much-needed hug, and the chest cam footage is making the rounds online.
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah.
That's neat.
It started my day. It was really cool. It was a perfect way to start my day today. The guy had pulled over. The guy had pulled over on his way to work and was crying in his car because he was just overwhelmed with life. The cop asked if there was anything he could do, and the guy said he could use a hug. So the cop immediately said yes. At the end of the video, he also tells him to call anytime, even if he just needs to talk.
That's awesome.
Because. And I did some research on this one, and I talked to a handful of officers at our Rapids Department. I've talked with Sheriff Becker about this. It turns out they're human beings. They have a heart, a soul, a family, all those things. And the more we get this in our heads, hopefully the more our kids will grow up and feel safer going to them, and that we will understand that the majority of these people doing this job are like this and are this way. Are there knuckleheads out there? Yes. And they hate them worse than we do. They make their job that much harder. These are the stories that we need to be talking about more. Need to be sharing more of these things and everything. Back in the mid-90s, a couple in New York were renovating their house when they found a stack of love letters in a wall that were from World War II. So they've been trying to track down the family ever since, and they finally did.
I love these stories.
Me too. I can't get enough of them. The letters were from a soldier to his wife, and a TikToker who specializes in this stuff managed to track down their daughter, who's 76 now. She says reading the letters remind her of what great parents they were.
That's really cool.
That got me. That was beautiful.
I love that.
That got me. I also, as a side note, I don't know what good, I imagine you can't make a very good living, if any money at all, but what a cool job that would be. Like, to be the person tracking these families down.
To use TikTok for something productive?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. A woman... Nicely done. A woman in Texas named Tanya Herbert has the world's largest feet. She's 6'9 and wears a size 18, so buying shoes has always been an issue, especially dress shoes. Her only option was men's shoes. But she recently talked about it on TikTok, and people told her to get in touch with a custom shoe company in Chicago called Mohop. They made her a pair of wedges first and just did a pair of 4-inch heels for her, too. She's 7'1 in them, and she's loving life. She's proud of it. She's happy with it.
That's
more
awesome.
Power to her.
Yeah.
It's such a difference when we talk about height between men and women. Men love being tall, and short men have this stigma and all these things to it and everything. Whereas for a woman, you know, just growing up, my mom is tall, and hearing from her, that could be a real tough thing. I admire that she embraces this
awesome.
And, you know, owns
but
it.
But that
and everything.
Would stink to never be able to find any shoes. I mean, and if she had to wear men's, what were they like? basketball shoes.
Yeah, yeah. My cousin, Lise has one, two different size feet, and so she would always have to buy two different sets of shoes. And if they didn't have that two in the same size, she couldn't get the pair she wanted. And I remember so many times her being like heartbroken over those things.
Yeah,
and stuff. That is rough. We also want to send a shout out to our friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, doing such important, great, vital work in our community. Terry, let's remind people about Power of the Purse coming up Tuesday, March 14th.
Yeah, Power of the Purse is just around the corner, about a month away. We encourage ladies in the community to attend. You can purchase a ticket by coming to our office at 351 Oak Street, or you can purchase tickets online at uwswac.org. Ticket price is $25. Event runs from 5 until 7:30, and this is a purse, handbag, silent auction, and raffle. So that's super fun, all supporting literacy efforts here in our community. And you know, James, I should mention, we didn't talk about earlier, we do also have a calendar raffle that we're selling tickets for right now. So for the month of April, we will be doing a drawing every business day for cash prizes. And those tickets are $10 each or 3 for $20. So, you know, pretty inexpensive way to get in on this. We're giving away $2,000 worth of prizes. Ooh, and if you get drawn, your name goes back in. So you could get drawn again. So those tickets are also available at our office at 351 Oak Street. You also could send us a message on Facebook and we can arrange to connect with you for those tickets.
We've got Wisconsin, and you can find out more by going to uwswac.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on social media as well. Tonight at 6:30, Wisconsin men's hockey at Minnesota, right here at WFHR. On WIRI at 7:10, Assumption boys basketball hosting Abbotsford. Have a great game, Randy and Don. Tomorrow on Saturday on WIRI, Marquette at Georgetown. Here at WFHR at 2, Wisconsin men's basketball at Nebraska. And on WIRI at 6:59, River Kings building hockey up and down the river. Mark and Don going to call the game, River Kings versus Hudson. That should be a good one. If you can get to the game, go to the Southwood County Rec Center and check it out. And be sure to check out Seth Faces the Music this Sunday from 6 to 8. And, of course, Director's Cut from 8 to 9. We greatly appreciate all of you out there doing that and spreading the word about these shows. Have a great weekend, everybody. Terry, have a good one.
You too.
We'll talk to you Monday right here from the WFHR studios at, oh, I like the way Katrina says this. I'm going to let her do it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM. And W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.